Hello and welcome to Game 6, the podcast celebrating the Boston Celtics as the NBA champions.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Maybe the most hyped finals I've ever witnessed. My jaw was dropping. My heart rate was spiking. I couldn't wait to watch every game. I did watch every game, you know, obviously. We have an NBA podcast. I watch Raptors games. Why wouldn't I watch the finals games? No, real talk, shit finals. I did not watch game 4. And I was like, oh, fuck. Dallas gonna smack them. Yeah. And then I watched the other ones. And yeah, Boston just dominated.
It's kind of a capper to a pretty bad playoffs in general. I think it's the worst one I've seen, which, like, it's funny because the playoffs was still fine, like, in general. There was good series. Like, it's
I feel like the terrible. First round was great.
Yeah, first round was good. And then each round got worse.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Like, each round.
Literally.
Because the thing is, like, the East had no good series after the first round.
Right.
Like, Boston versus Indiana wasn't great. Indiana versus New York was fine.
That was pretty good.
Boston versus Cleveland sucked. But, like, Cleveland versus Orlando was a banger. Philly versus New York was a banger. Indiana versus Milwaukee had its moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a bad playoffs in general, which means we're only going up from here. Hopefully it'll be better next year. The Western Conference semifinals is where it peaked.
I agree.
Like the OKC versus Dallas and then the Denver versus Minnesota. Those two series are both great.
Facts.
Like really fucking good. But yeah, honestly.
Makes me retroactively wish Denver won.
Yeah, for sure.
That would have just made the other series so much better.
I don't even need to be retroactive. I wish Denver won. I was gutted when they lost. I don't want to take too much away from Boston because...
I mean, they might be a super team.
Yeah, that team's really fucking good. And, I mean, they have the pieces to be right back there next year winning another championship. I mean, they're going to be the prohibitive favorites. They're the favorites this year before they had even won a championship. So they're going to be the favorites next year again. Great team. It's funny, like, Tatum is, like, not that good as your first guy. And the last few years have been kind of a lot of dudes, like big Hall of Fame lock dudes who win, you know, Gage Jones Hall of Fame locks. Because Tatum, I think, could retire today and make the NBA Hall of Fame. But, yeah, and you have this team where it's this guy who's, it's a coach who's not a lot of people trust and a star player.
Or respect.
And a star player who's definitely not top 5, maybe not top 10 in the league, and, like...
Didn't even win finals MVP.
No, he did not. No. Jalen Brown, a lot of people were like, why is this the highest paid player in the league?
Mm-hmm.
You got just a lot of dudes, you know? Like,
I mean, good for Brown, though, to get, like, such a massive bag, and then to, like, outperform it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times you'll see dudes get paid, and then, never are that good again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Brown this year would get that contract again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, they're going to give Tatum the Supermax once he's eligible for that.
I can't believe. Isn't he already? Doesn't he only have another year?
I don't think he can sign it until this free agency starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like,
so just because of when he signed his?
Yeah, it'll be like a couple weeks from now that he'll be able to sign his next big one. Which, like, the first day he's able to, they're going to sign him to that.
Right.
I mean, it's Jason Tatum, the Boston Celtics. Yeah. Come on.
He might get a no-trade clause.
Yeah. No, he's not Bradley Beal. And then I think they can offer Derek White up to $31-32 million.
Okay.
Which I would offer him $30 million like right now and hope that he signs to it because he could easily outperform that contract next year. He's been basically just getting progressively better year after year.
Yeah.
So I would very much be trying to negotiate with him at the upper end of that deal so you don't end up having to pay more on him.
But it seems like his final form. What's he going to do? Shave his beard next?
Hey, man. You never know. You never know. Shave his eyebrows.
Oh, there we go. That's peak.
Yeah, that team's so good. So good. Jrue Holiday's great. Derek White's great. Jalen Brown's great. Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Chris Porzingis, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser. And that's it. Those are the dudes. But like,
what more do you need?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, Jrue Holiday was their third best player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, if you include health. Like, I think for the games Porzingis played, he might have been better, but...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, I think, like, Holiday's the fifth best player, like, on their team for the regular season. And, yeah, he played great in the playoffs. He's just a playoff performer in general. Like, kind of. He has two really good championship runs. And then, like, his defense is good on every other run, but like so those last couple of Milwaukee runs, his shooting was really bad. You look back at it, and he would kind of shoot them out of games,
because especially like when Middleton was out and he would have to take a lot of them.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. He's just not a number two guy. But like when he's like the number five offensive option, you can just let his defense sing. Like,
right.
It's funny because like he'll grab just a bunch of offensive boards and do the dirty work because he doesn't really have to do much ball handling duties. Mm-hmm. So he can just like get in there, and it almost makes his offense better.
Oh, for sure. I think us as fans, like, we take it for granted how hard it is to really like play both ends of the floor. I think that's why also like Luka got a lot of shit. People are like, he's a defensive liability. It's like, when you're doing that much on offense, like, I think a lot of dudes would be defensive liabilities.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to pivot to Dallas, like, Luka, he needs to be better conditioned for the playoffs. Because his defense was good in the first round, and it just deteriorated over time. And
well, him fouling out of that game was insane.
Yeah, well, that's unforgivable. That's just...
Well, it was also, like, three plays in a row, right? Like, he's going for charges. And they're like, I don't think I've ever seen you try and take a charge.
Yeah, or, like, swiping into balls that, like, you just... Why... Just get just back. Just
give the dunk.
Yeah, just get back on defense.
Well, like, I feel like a lot of those are in transition. But, like, still, whatever.
The main two things that Luka needs to improve on... And, like, we're talking about a top, like, three player in the world. So, like, like, you know, he's already pretty close. But, like, if he wants to, like, really, like... You know, win without having a wealth of talent around him. Like, this Dallas team was good, but they weren't, like, amazing around him. He needs to improve his conditioning so he can play better defense for longer. And he just needs to mentally, like, when shit doesn't go his way, he can't just explode. And he can't just, like, start, like, oh, I'm going to just jump in the way of people and complain.
I don't know. I don't put any of this on Luka. Like, Kyrie was so bad in the finals. Like, he was a terrible number two. And, like, there's no one in the world who can win without, like, at least someone helping them out. Mm-hmm. And, like the Dallas role players are fine. But they're not going to, like, carry the piece. Like, Luka needs, like, someone else who can, like, help him out and be, like, a release valve. And, like, I mean, Kyrie was doing it in every series except the finals. But, like, maybe it's just the Celtics thing. He still hasn't beaten the Celtics since leaving the team.
Yeah, I think that did, like, play a role, like, mentally with him.
Especially at home. Yeah. Or, like, Celtics home.
Yeah, in Boston. Yeah, I mean, like listen, it's everyone's fault way more than Luka. But, like, I do think that Luka still has stuff to build on to become better and to hit that next level. And the thing is, he's, like, 24, 25. I mean, if you want to talk about Kyrie, like, bro, what? Like, people get the craziest narratives in the playoffs. Like, Luka Kyrie, best backcourt all time, is one of the most insane narratives I think I've ever heard in my life.
And, like, right. But it's weird when the commentators do it, too.
I know.
Because then, like, you hear it a lot.
Like, Stephen Clay, like, was not that long ago. Like, we're not talking about, like, a 60s team. Like, we're talking about not super long ago with
Steph. They're still together.
Yeah, with Steph Curry, who, like... Let's say you think he's worse than Luka. He is not that much worse than Luka. He is just below him.
And he's really not. He's better than Luka, but anyway.
And Klay Thompson, is, like, when he was in his prime in Golden State, is way better. It's way better than current Kyrie Irving. Like, what are we doing? That guy was making All-NBA teams. Kyrie didn't even make an All-Star team this year.
Right.
Like, what are we actually doing?
Especially, like, once they... Like, I mean, if they got it done, maybe we can start having that talk.
Yeah, maybe.
Midway through the playoffs, like... They ended up flaming up.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't...
And, like, yeah, like you said, Steph and Klay are literally, like, have four rings together.
Steph and Klay, as the number one and number two scoring options, have two rings together. And as the number one and number three scoring options, have freaking four rings together. So, like, well, I don't know what the... I don't know. That was a crazy narrative. Like, I like Kyrie as the second guy on that team, like, from a scoring standpoint. I think they need to get better shooters, which I don't know how they're going to do that.
Right.
I like PJ Washington at the four. I don't love Derek Jones Jr. at the three. I would try and upgrade that spot because, I mean, he hit threes in some of the series and that looked good. But just imagine if that was a dude who, like, actually hits threes instead of when he hits threes of being, like, nice. I mean, I don't know what kind of money they could put together for, like, a Jeremy Grant kind of dude or, like, a real, just, like, a dude who, like, proven playoff three-point shooter with size.
Right.
Which, maybe, like, maybe Cam Johnson. Now that Brooklyn, who we'll talk about later,
they're blowing up.
Maybe Cam Johnson is not a bad move there. I would just look. I would look around to see what you could do to improve that. Derrick Jones Jr. I like Derrick Jones Jr. I thought he had a pretty good playoff run.
He was really good.
You'd like him to be the first forward off your bench, I think, ideally, on your team.
Like he was bouncing around like a bunch of different teams. Like, it was, if you wanted Derrick Jones Jr., you could get Derrick Jones Jr. very easily. But at least before. Maybe it's a little harder now. But yeah, like, I think he just outperformed what he did. But you can only, like, people are who they are at the end of the day.
Yeah. And listen, like Luka will be better, and Lively's going to be better, and Gafford and Washington, once they play a full season with Luka, are going to, you know, probably have some better chemistry. But you just think with how competitive the West is right now, that anytime you make it out of the West, like, you really, really got to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, like, I'm not betting on them getting out of the West in the next, like, 3 years.
No, I mean, they're my fourth team in the West for next year, and this is way too early to say that, but, like, or to, like, really be doing that. But, yeah, they're my fourth team in the West. And even fourth is just based off of them making the finals. So I think, like, on paper, there's teams that have better rosters than them. Like, I think Memphis is going to be sneaky really good next year. And I feel like a lot of people forgot about that.
Forgot about Ja.
Forgot about Ja. I mean, yeah, because they were garbage last year.
Bane was actually really good.
Yeah. I think he played 40 games, though.
Oh, did he? Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't actually see him be good, but his basketball reference is really good.
Well, they got 40 games out of Bane. They got 9 games out of John. They got 20 games out of Marcus Smart. So you got your three, like, high-quality guards that you get less than a full season out of.
Combined.
So, yeah, it's going to – not individually. And then they're, like, fourth guard was, like, Derrick Rose at the beginning of the year. And he had a pretty healthy year and played 30 games. So, like, I'm, like – but yeah, Dallas, good, great playoff run. Luka is amazing.
Stop the presses.
Him? I mean, like, if somebody wants to say he's the best player in the world, all the power to you. I disagree, but, like,
he's in that conversation, at least.
Yeah, for sure. In a way that somebody like Shea isn't in that conversation.
Right.
Or, like, Steph isn't quite in that conversation anymore. Like, Shea and Steph are amazing. AD, like, whoever you want to put in there. Like,
I'd even say Durant.
Those guys are really good players.
Yeah.
Really, really excellent. Good players.
Superstars.
Yeah, but,
franchise number ones.
It feels like if they don't upgrade this team, he'll have to become the unequivocal best player in the world.
To get further?
Yeah, to win a championship. But, yeah. I think he's pretty close right now, and I do think he'll be better. I think this will light a fire underneath him.
It's one of those Europeans. It's the Slovenian, the Serbian, or the Greek.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Or the Cameroonian / French / American center, if you think that the injuries have been holding back. That's all my final thoughts, really. I wish we had more to say about it. I wish it was a more intriguing final. Yeah. But really, it's like, Boston's great. Dallas isn't quite there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, Boston was a team built for the finals, and it feels like they just never faced a team that was. And, like, it's not their fault. They're not the ones who injured everyone, and, like, they're not the ones who beat Denver. Or, like, you know, they weren't responsible for Denver losing or anything like that. But, yeah, like, they were the one team that was, like, a true competitor. I feel like I got to re-listen to our competitor. What do you call it? Fraud, or what was the segment we did?
We went through every team. Yeah.
I got to re-listen to that. I want to see who I named as a true competitor, but I doubt I named anyone Boston had to play. And I definitely put Boston in there.
No. Unless, I know you were always kind of low on Miami. I mean,
I would not have put them as a true competitor.
It's funny, like, one last kind of note on this is, like, it's funny how series will reframe teams that lose in the series before. And what I mean by that is, like, Indiana's competitiveness, even in a 4-game sweep in the conference finals, after seeing, like...
With half a Halliburton.
Yeah, after seeing what Dallas did, it's like, oh, wait a minute. It's kind of like how, like, when Dallas smoked Minnesota, you're like, wait a minute, OKC. Like, pushing, like, that close series going to six, like, exactly. that's kind of impressive.
Right.
Right? Sometimes it takes the team that beats you seeing what they look like against real competition to make you feel like real competition. And, like,
true.
I think that people underestimate how many, like, good teams there are in the league. Like, really good teams that can have good playoff series. Because I don't think a whole lot of people, me included, I was kind of always a hater in Indiana. Had Indiana as, like, a real competitor this year. But, I mean, they go to the finals of the in-season tournament, and they go to the conference finals of the playoffs. Like, what more do you want from a young team that's never really done anything before? They're not going to win a championship. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think that there's a lot of talent in the league right now.
Yeah. For better or for worse, though. I feel like that's a big reason why we ended up at the finals that we did.
Mm-hmm.
When you have this much parity, you have teams like Denver losing. And just because it's a bad matchup, frankly, I think. And then you end up with a less competitive finals when it's a more even matchup talent-wise. Or not talent-wise, like fit-wise, but then the talent just overwhelms, like what Boston did. Because I just think, like, I think Denver, like, destroys the Mavs, honestly. I just think Minnesota, like, is just tough for them with three centers.
I also think Murray had
Murray
was really bad. He had the Kyrie Irving finals style series.
Yeah, literally.
The second round.
Literally.
And, like, when your second dude isn't performing like that, it's tough. And that's something that, I love to glaze Middleton. I'll do it at any opportunity possible. That's something I've always kind of respected about Middleton, is it feels like he'll have a bad game. Maybe he'll have back-to-back bad games. But he never really has a full series where it's just stinker after stinker. He'll always give you a couple games where he can really be, like, a sidekick. Mm-hmm. And really, if you're a top-level player, all you really need is two games where your co-star gives you, like, 30 or more points and, like, is really putting their imprint on the game, right? And well, Kyrie couldn't do that in the finals. Even the games where he shot well, he was inefficient. Or even the games where he scored a lot, he was inefficient. And, like, in the first round, he was bad and just hit a couple two-game winners.
So, I know.
Like,
yeah, it's so weird. That's such a weird, like, way to look at it. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, he won literally two games, two buzzer beaters.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very good overall.
Nope. That's my final thought.
Yeah.
We got
a lot of trades. We should get to them.
I think before we get to trades, I think we should go to a signing first. So, you know, we are game six. We are a Raptors podcast. Oh. There was a massive signing.
The biggest in franchise history.
And that's our boy, Scotty Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Barnes, the $50 million a year man.
Yeah, I think it's closer to 40. I think they took it down since, like, it's like what it was originally reported at. I think it was 270, and it's like actually 225 over the 5 years.
Gotcha.
So 40 something million dollar man, still lots of money. I have to say, when I first saw the number, I was like, "Whoa, that's a lot of money." But you just give this is a no doubter contract give to a player.
I mean, it's an insane amount of money, but, like, he was gonna get all the money he was worth. Like, he's arguably the best in his class. A draft mm-hmm. class of them, maybe Cade or Mobley, if you still believe. And, like, this is just what you do. Like, what are you going to do? Like, not give him what he wants and, like, make him unhappy and, like, have to test other teams? Like, we have the cap space. He's young. It's not going to be a bad contract, like, later on. Unless he gets injured or something, obviously. But, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. He improved so much this year that – hopefully it just continues down the road. And yeah, it's a future face of the league getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, like, I love it. Like, I love that he's on a contract. We don't need to worry about that. Like, we won't have more contract discussions about him for 4 or 5 more years from now.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause this is an extension, right? He still has his rookie next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have him for 6 years, or is the last year a player option?
The last year's a player option.
So guaranteed we have him for 5 more seasons.
Yeah, unless he asks out.
Right.
I kind of wish that this next year we had more of, like, a established core around him so we could know what to trade for around him before before his big contract comes on the books. But beggars can't be choosers. Like, when you have a 22, 23-year-old star, like, things are chill. Like, yeah, right. I mean, like, we're not going to be that good this year, and like, that's okay, because we have this central piece, so now we just kind of got to figure stuff out around him, and mm-hmm. then, like, develop stuff around him, see what else looks good. We have, like, pieces on our roster isn't, like, devoid of talent, so, you know, we'll be able to run it out with Scotty. Hopefully he can make another jump this year, be an all-NBA guy, ideally. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, like, him and Cooper Flagg will, like, work well together.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It'll be nice having our own pick. It'll be really nice.
For the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be trading picks anytime soon. Yeah, like, get ready, boys, for the long haul with this Raptors team. Like,
I don't know. Masai's a quick guy. He doesn't like losing for long.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm thinking next year will be our last year of losing. At least of being in the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so. I've heard a lot of Charlotte fans say that before in the past 10 years. A lot of Detroit fans say that in the last 10 years. A lot of Sacramento fans say it in the 10 years leading up to like 2 years ago. Hopefully we're not one of those forever. Teams.
We haven't sucked in a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but like it's scary. Like when you're right. looking at this, like kind of.
Well, even like when you get out of it, like, I mean, maybe we can transition into it or if you want to keep talking about it. But like the Nets just did their all in thing and then they just now dug themselves out of the hole by getting their own picks back.
Yeah, like, for sure. I'm down to talk about that trade. Let's start with the Nets, you know, because the Knicks are the big. Are going to be the big talking point. We'll start with the Nets, and then we'll go Knicks, and then we'll go Houston.
The Villanova Knicks.
Actually, we can do Houston real quick with the Nets in that
because the Nets did two things.
Mm-hmm. They got their two picks back in the next 2 years. They basically gave up two full picks and then two pick swaps to get one pick swap and one pick back.
Yes, they gave up two for one in both a pick and a pick swap. Mm-hmm. Two picks, one pick back. Two pick swaps, one pick swap back.
Yep.
Both giving away Phoenix, mm-hmm. Phoenix's picks that they got for Kevin Durant, and getting back their own that they got for James Harden, which mm-hmm. means now the Rockets control Phoenix's picks, mm-hmm. Which is why they've been tied to potentially getting Kevin Durant. But I think, I mean, we'll get to that later, but I think that's more of a move on just betting, like shorting the Phoenix Suns and thinking they're going to blow up. Because those are going to be value picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the picks I got back is 2025 Phoenix, which I do not think will be value. I'm sure. Not quite okay. as low on Phoenix as a lot of people. I think they'll be good this year.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But 2027 Phoenix looks really good. The 2029 Phoenix looks good. I think the swap is the 27. They get the full in 29. And then the second swap is Dallas's 2029 pick that they got for Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Tidy work by Houston. They just added more picks. And, like, those Brooklyn picks next 2 years are going to be pretty good. But here's the thing is they're more valuable in Brooklyn's hands because now Brooklyn could be like, we're just going to fully fucking tank.
Exactly. Because, yes, the pick becomes more valuable in Brooklyn's hands because if Houston controls Brooklyn's pick, Brooklyn doesn't care about being bad. They're going to try and be as good as they can. And then now that the Brooklyn controls the picks, they know they can tank. They can trade all their players. They can trade a Nick Claxton, whatever, Finney Smith, whatever, and get a really good pick. Unlike, like, for example, like we as Raptors fans know that very well and that we were very bad this year. We have to miss, we missed the play and missed the playoffs and still don't get our own pick. Mm-hmm. Knowing how much that sucks. We were just talking about how we're really relieved to get our picks back. It's same thing for both.
Well, hell, Houston is picking number three tonight. Number three, either number three or number four. I think number three. You know whose pick that is?
It's
is this year's Brooklyn pick.
Yes, that's right. Which they did not get back.
Yeah, which I wouldn't really want back. Well, not that I wouldn't want it back, but if that's any sticking point in the negotiation, you can keep that. You don't need to jump in on this draft too badly.
I mean, three is really good, but yeah, it's a weak draft.
I would rather have like seven next year than three this year, especially with the way people are talking up next year's draft. It's supposed
and
to be
talking
really,
down
really good
this year's more.
Yeah,
so
for sure. For
but
sure.
No, it, yeah, you're right. It is both.
Yeah, it goes both ways. I love it for Brooklyn, and I think, I love them tanking. One thing to note is it was just announced not long before we started this podcast, 4 years, $100 million for Nick Claxton. He's going to be sticking around. Since he just signed that deal, he probably won't be traded.
Be traded before the deadline.
Yes, unless that trade comes out later tonight. So you got to think this offseason, Cam Johnson is probably the main guy that they would trade because I think that you could.
But I think anyone's available. Like, I even think Cam Thomas or whatever.
Yeah, just. Yeah, I would hold on to Cam Thomas a little bit more, just because of how young he is. But sure, I mean, if somebody wanted to give you two firsts for Cam Thomas, then they can give you two firsts for Cam Thomas.
Right.
Dorian Finney-Smith is for sure gone, but I just don't think he'll get you too much. I think Cam Johnson can get you some. His contract's kind of bad. He gets paid like $25 million, and it's like,
yeah, and I never really liked him much.
He's like fine. He's like, you know, he's fine. He can be your fifth starter on like a really good team. He was really? A fifth starter on a really good team. Yeah, that's true. Team that went to the finals.
Yeah, literally was. But he always seems to me like more of a bench guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why he's a fifth starter, you know? He could be your fourth through second, or God forbid, first. Yeah, they're probably, like, Cam Thomas, if he sticks around, is going to get a lot of touches this year, which he will love. See what Ben Simmons, I guess, looks like this year on that team.
Oh, my God, yeah, I forgot about the Ben Simmons of it all.
Nick Claxton, it's nice to get him in on that deal so that he doesn't just leave in free agency and you can get some value out of that, which I would definitely trade him for at the end of the year. There's
sorry, how much are you getting a year, 20?
25.
25.
Okay, a little pricey. It's a little pricey. Jared Allen gets about 20. I think just I just don't like overpaying on centers who just do normal center stuff.
True.
Like Jakob Poeltl gets 19.5. Like Nick Claxton's good. I like him, but I wouldn't say he's a dime a dozen. But it's definitely like a quarter a dozen of centers who do center stuff like that. Yeah. Good job, Brooklyn. Happy that they're finally blowing it completely up. I think they're gonna be the worst team in the league this year. Depending on what Washington does. I mean, probably. Washington's not going to be that much better this year either.
I mean, Portland might sell too.
Yeah. Those teams are not going to be good. Also, like, if Utah has won Lowry Markkanen trade away from being really bad, I think.
I mean, and if Detroit has repeats anything of it.
Yeah.
Also, we weren't even going to schedule talk about it, but how the hell do you fire Monty Williams? Like, I know you fire him. Why he's got fired, but they're paying now three coaches to be the worst team in the league, like to be a lottery team. Like, what the fuck?
It's the Milwaukee Bucks model of paying three coaches at the same time.
Yeah.
Except with the Milwaukee Bucks, only the first coach was a former coach of the year, but with Detroit, they've now fired two coach of the years in a row while still under contract. So, good job. I wonder, I guess Dwayne Casey's just done with the NBA, because you would think that his name someone would at least be picked, floated in talks.
Yeah, like Lakers
maybe,
or something.
Maybe not be picked up, but at least people would, like, his name would come up in talks. Something tells me that it's over for him. He just doesn't want to coach in the NBA anymore.
I guess so. Insane that Monty Williams is getting paid from, is it three or two different teams now?
Two different teams,
like huge contracts. He's getting like millions and millions to just chill.
Yeah, I think it's like $20 million or something like that between the two contracts. He also apparently wanted to retire, not retire, but take time off before after last season.
Yeah.
But then they give him a Godfather offer, and so now he gets to take that time off.
Right, the offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
True. But that's a little tangent. We can get to the New York piece of it. The Villanova Knicks, sorry, not the New York Knicks anymore, who now have four players on their team who have won together in the college level, won the NCAA tournament, and now they have Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, which they had last year, and now they just added Mikal Bridges.
I flip-flop a lot on what New York has been doing, right? Because there's two ways to look at it. The optimist in me is like, they probably just have the second best roster in the East. I mean, Philly still has an offseason to go, but I think New York's probably just the second best team in the East. You know my feelings on Milwaukee and their injuries and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm a little low on Milwaukee, but I think Milwaukee, like, for sure. I think the betting odds would probably say they'll be better than New York this year. But who knows, because New York does get a betting boost. Anyway, the pessimist in me says six first-round picks, four straight-up first-round picks with two swaps.
No, I believe five and two swaps.
And two swaps for
Mikal. No, five and one swap, I thought.
For Mikal Bridges. That's a lot. $40 million a year. $40 million a year for OG Anunoby. That's a lot. Isaiah Hartenstein,
right, zero-time All-Star.
Isaiah Hartenstein might not even come back, and then like maybe Precious Achiuwa.
I think weirdly it comes down to if the Mikal Bridges trade includes a few minimum contracts, if they can match the salary that they get, if they can give out in a salary that matches Mikal Bridges, they get $11 more million. But if they're if they, because currently Bojan gets paid less than Mikal, which means they have to, they can't be at the second apron. They have to be, I don't know if they call it the first apron, but the one below that, which is like 11 million difference. If they can get to that, they can probably get Hartenstein back.
Yeah, I don't think they want to give up Deuce McBride, though. And anybody worse than him is getting paid too little money to move the needle.
True.
Like, Jericho Sims is probably the next highest paid
player.
Can't
you just sign a bunch of dudes? Like, sign, like, four minimums?
Well, not you can't include them in that trade now. You can't trade anybody. Because
the trade's already gone through?
Yeah, you also can't trade anybody until 6 months after you sign them. Unless it's a sign-and-trade. Yeah, but you can't sign-trade dudes who aren't on your team. So unless Precious Achiuwa is a part of that.
Why wouldn't? Yeah, I would do it. If you get Hartenstein back.
I don't know if I would do that if I was Brooklyn. Maybe. I don't know. Like, why are you doing them favors?
Why would you do them favors? This is actually the first trade that, between the Knicks. It's the first trade between New York and Brooklyn. It's the first trade between the Knicks and Nets in 41 years.
Holy cannoli.
they do not do business often.
No. Good. Wow.
Fifth time they've ever made a trade.
Makes sense, though. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm...
Subway Series.
I'm overall feel good about this next offseason.
Yeah. Well, this goes to your point, the thing that you always say. And that availability is the best availability. And they just had a bunch of their dudes get injured. So why not trade for the dude who hasn't missed a single NBA game in his life?
Yeah, why not sign a dude who plays 45 games a year, $40 million? You can pay him $1 million per game.
Well, that's the opposite. That's the opposite. $1 million per game. That's crazy. He played some playoff games too. Yeah.
Not even all of them. did you know that OG Anunoby in the past 4 years has played less games than Paul George?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Because I was looking at both of them. Because
Paul George has been floating around, too. But now it seems like he does not want to leave the West Coast.
No. Well, I was kind of under the impression that if I'm the Philadelphia 76ers, I'd probably rather sign Anunoby than Paul George.
Right.
Because it's like $10 million cheaper. You can spend on another player, like the ball. You already have two main creators, so you don't really need another creator. Like, the defense is more valuable. And, like, they both have a similar injury history, but one's way older. But that's a moot point now because OG Anunoby is re-signed and Paul George said that he's not going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Right. So. Well, I just don't think he's going to any East team.
Yeah, well, he said Philadelphia explicitly on his podcast. Oh, did he? Yeah, he said he talked with James Harden and that the players talked together and, you know, like the James Harden shit really rubbed him the wrong way, so he doesn't want to go there.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Which is a terrible from a leverage point of view. Like, why are you saying this? Before you buy your new contract with the Clippers. Because, like, who else is going to give him money? Like, so unless they trade him.
Back to OKC?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be great. That'd be great for OKC.
I mean, it is a crazy pay. This is, like, Kevin Durant-type picks for Mikal Bridges. But, like, Mikal Bridges is literally a person every team would want, and that's the biggest problem, is that you have to compete against every single team. Like, the really young teams probably, I don't know, it's kind of weird to say, but probably wouldn't necessarily be as crazy about Kevin Durant. Mikal Bridges is very young, hasn't missed a single NBA game. Like, arguably one of the best defenders in the league. Arguably the best perimeter defender in the league, depending on how optimistic you are on him. And, like, a solid scorer. Like, he's obviously going to be a way more limited role. I think at this point, now we got to get rid of Randall. I'm sorry to say that. I actually hate the Knicks.
I keep Randall if I'm them. I like how big they are right now. How beefy
that they can literally guard anyone. And like the thing is, they don't have anything for Embiid, but like Embiid guards himself in a way with his injuries. But like every other team in the East, like they have such good matchups for. Like, I mean, Giannis is a problem too, but like I feel like Randall's got the size and Mikal and stuff you could throw on him. Mm-hmm. Even OG you could throw on him. But like I'm at like Boston, they have like throw OG on Brown and throw Mikal on Tatum. Like that's like the dream. Like if you could like pick two players to guard Boston, like those would be one of the first, some of the first names you come up
that
with.
That series would end up being like 72 to 69 at the end of every game. Because Brunson's going to take 30 shots a game being face guarded by Drew Holiday, who just made Kyrie Irving look like a bomb for a full series.
Brunson's going to drop 40 on 40 shots.
That series would, like, that series is going to be, if you like defense, you'll like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Josh Hart and Drew Holiday fucking wrestling each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic about the Knicks. I do think that they're the second best team in the East now. Barring, as I said, Philadelphia has a lot of cap space, but I just...
Yeah, like at this point, what are they going to do? Re-sign Tobias?
Like, yeah, like they can't get Paul George. Like, are they going to bring in Miles Bridges? Like DeMar DeRozan? I don't know.
Yeah, those
sound terrible. That does not sound good. Like, how much better is Miles Bridges than Tobias Harris?
Right.
And like, he's younger, but you want to win right now if you're Philadelphia.
I mean, maybe DeRozan, honestly.
Maybe.
But also, like, he wants to go back to Chicago, and Chicago wants him back. So
yeah,
it seems like that was a done deal. But that was also a few months ago, and he hasn't re-signed. So maybe there's more ambiguity there.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to talk about Chicago?
Yeah, and one of the craziest deals, I think so stupid. I know Chicago fans don't like this trade, and I agree, I would be pissed if Alex Caruso basically straight up for Josh Giddey, nothing else attached to it. Like, what the fuck? Like, Alex Caruso is a really, really good defense. Didn't he make an all-defense team this year?
Yeah, he did.
He's literally an all-defense player, and like,
40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, Josh Giddey has 40?
Yeah.
Damn. He's, like, championship proven. He had a really bad last season in L.A., and that's it. Like, his last year at the Lakers, I think they got swept by the Nuggets that year. He was awful there.
And he was pretty injury-plagued last year.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, like, he is just a good player. And, like, yeah, you're going on the potential of Josh Giddey. But I'm kind of a Josh Giddey, doubter. And I think it's a crazy move. I think, like, the fact that you couldn't, like, they have, like, 30 picks and you couldn't get any of them, like, that's insane. And I also just, I can't believe none of the other teams. I can't believe we didn't throw shit for, like, Alex Caruso. Like, oh my God, it's crazy to me.
I kind of like the trade for Chicago.
Oh, my God.
So 1 year left with Caruso, and then he would have walked, almost guaranteed. I don't think he's going back there. The smoke is that the only other trade that I heard of was the number 13 pick in this year's draft from Sacramento, which I would not rather have than Josh Giddey. And I wouldn't rather have the number 13 pick in next year's draft. I wouldn't rather have one first-round pick than Josh Giddey, personally, unless it's from a really bad team. Not to sound more pro-pedophile than Anthony, but I like Josh Giddey a little more. I think that he's
acquitted.
I like the playmaking. I like the size. The defense is a little bit off.
Yeah,
but
that's,
I think it can
all
get
he
there.
Does is playmake. That's like, that can't be your only role in a modern NBA team, to just be a good playmaker.
He's 22 years old right now, so there's going to be players drafted tonight that are younger, that are older than him, I should say.
True.
I mean, the dude put up 16-8-7 last year.
Oh, really? He did that good?
Like, he's...
That's actually really good numbers. It's like, that's really good.
Like, I mean, it doesn't look great. I get it. But, like, he rebounds really well for a guard. And he... Which I would imagine they're going to play him as a guard. I thought playing him at the four was so dumb in OKC. Yeah, and the three-point shot's bad. I mean, he shoots at, like, 33%, which is terrible for somebody who's probably going to be a lead guard. But I don't hate it. I kind of like it from Chicago. And as I said, I always like young players more than draft picks. Just because you never fucking know with the draft pick. Like, the average draft pick is, like, 13, 14, 15. And, like, we got, like, Grady Dick last year with that. And that's, like, not an uncommon person to draft
Does
in that range.
Does he even
range.
Start, though? Or, like, are they getting rid of LaVine? Like, because, actually,
I mean, I'm not,
cause it's Kobe.
I'm not starting Patrick Williams over Josh Giddey. Are you fucked? Like, Patrick Williams is not good.
But what about Io?
Because Kobe. I'm not starting Io over Josh Giddey in any universe. No way.
I think they would. It's the develop. I guess both of them.
They just traded Alex Caruso for the guy. They're not going to start their 24-year-old who has been on their team for years over the 22-year-old who's like. they just traded a piece for.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. At least for the start, yeah. We'll see how they play out.
Shit, man. Like, if Vucevic has to come off the bench, I'm playing Josh Giddey. I don't care, man.
They already suck defensively. And, like, Vucevic is no defensive stopper. Like, he's far from it. But you need a real center.
Yeah, I think I would just not re-sign DeRozan. Like, or sign and trade him, you know? I would figure out something to do there. I don't think you're going to be able to trade LaVine. Maybe have Kobe White.
Where did DeRozan go? Yeah, I guess he could go Philly. I feel like he's such a Lakers player.
Yeah, the key would be to move him to a team where you just need a little more shot creation.
Maybe Dallas.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I don't think he spreads the floor enough, though.
Yeah.
I want somebody to shrink the floor a little bit when around Luka. Although Luka and Kyrie shoot the ball well enough that you could have one floor shrinker out there. But I would rather have a stretch five if I'm going to have DeRozan on my team.
True.
If you're like a mid team who like just needs to do something, like it's great. Like if you're fucking like Sacramento, yeah, like trade for DeRozan. Like,
or some team that doesn't have their pick this year or something.
Yeah, like if you're a team that's like, or like if you're Atlanta, yeah, fuck it. Like I'll trade for DeMar DeRozan. Like, let's fucking go. Like you guys want the first overall pick? It's not that good of a draft. Give me fucking DeMar. I want one for one. Let's make it happen.
Well, you need to throw some money.
Yeah, for with the pick, with the first, yeah.
Well, I think you just rules rise, right?
Yeah, yeah, because it's like 20.
Well, like they also Chicago's got to give up their pick then. Like they said, you can't just be the one, because I think you'd rather the first overall pick than DeMar DeRozan at this point.
I don't think I would. I don't think I would, bro. I was listening to Bill Simmons podcast recently, and he was saying that he wouldn't trade the first overall. Like he wouldn't trade Herb Jones for the first overall pick.
Like if he was,
if he was New Orleans, Pelicans, yeah, oh I was God. Like, you're crazy. But he did say they wouldn't trade Trey Murphy for the first overall pick. I was like, maybe. I'm a believer in Trey Murphy. I was like a believer in Trey Murphy. This is such a tangent, and we'll try and wrangle us back over to the Giddey Caruso trade in a second. But I was a believer in Trey Murphy. I thought he was good coming into this year, and then we saw them play live, and he was even better than my wildest expectations. Well,
like, he literally had like the best. He had like his career game.
Yeah, they got to trade DeRozan or release,
or just don't resign. Yeah, they currently don't have DeRozan on their roster.
Because I would trade LaVine if I could. Like the only players.
Well, they really want Vucevic gone, I think, is the biggest problem.
Yeah, that doesn't help with your Giddey situation. Because like you want to play Patrick Williams, you want to play Kobe White, and you want to play Josh Giddey, right?
Right.
So that means one of DeRozan or LaVine can play with those guys, and one cannot. Because that cannot be your five-man lineup, as you said earlier. As much as I joked about it, like,
well, you got to throw Io in there too.
Yeah, I mean, I think
just kidding.
I think Io loses. Well, I mean, realistically, Io should be in there, and so you should trade LaVine and DeRozan because, like, what the fuck are you doing trying to win games? Like,
right? Well, I mean, LaVine's still young enough. Like, is LaVine even really in his prime yet? Is he still like under 25?
28.
Oh wow, he's way older than I thought.
He's really old.
Yeah, really he's old.
Really old.
Older than us? Mm-hmm. Ew.
Hey, he's old as fuck. The only problem is literally no one in the league wants LaVine. Like, two weeks ago,
I'm surprised. I think he's still very.
I'm not
player.
Surprised. He gets paid $50 million a year to be injured all the time. But I guess fucking OG Anunoby's gonna get paid $40 million a year to get injured all the time. So what do I know?
NBA champion OG Anunoby.
Yeah,
with 0 minutes in that. Has LaVine played in the playoffs? Yeah, for sure, right?
Like a couple years ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. They beat us last year. Well, two seasons ago now.
Wait, in the playoffs?
In the play-in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Bad times. Bad times. What we have other stuff to talk. We have a lot of actually stuff still to talk about.
I know.
Bridges trade, Caruso trade. JJ Redick hire. Okay.
Actually, no, this is pretty much it. When you're at the end.
Okay. Yeah, and then we got one other big thing to talk about, and then we're pretty much it. And then I actually want to go through the Twitter to see what trades have gone on tonight so we can get some live reactions. JJ Redick hire. Honestly, the way that you feel about the Josh Giddey trade is how I feel about the JJ Redick hire. This is one of the stupidest coaching hires I've ever seen in my entire life, and I couldn't be lower on it. It's an F grade for me.
I would be 100% there with you. Except, I actually love that he chose to quit podcasting and that he's all in on it. You know what? Maybe. I'll give it. I am cautiously optimistic. I'll give it a C.
I like this. Well, I like this, you know, that we're disagreeing on this.
A little back and forth.
The Lakers cannot hire another rookie coach.
Oh, that's
first of all, what are you doing? Whoa, what is going on?
He coaches his son.
Yeah, he coaches fourth grade. My bad. Yeah, he coached fucking fourth grade. He coached fourth grade basketball, and you expect him to take this team that fucking won one playoff game last year and make them a championship team? Like, where are we? Where are we with this? It's like, just because he has a fucking good podcast and he's like on like TNT or whatever, ESPN, right, talking about like whatever every day, calling out Bob Cousy and like shit like that. Like, good for you, man. Like, I think it's so asinine to think that this dude who was doing a podcast with your star player like weeks ago and be like, yeah, oh yeah, that's this is insane. A good call. This
that is truly insane.
Where are we going with this? What happens? Like, over under, do you think he's the coach in the 2027-28 season of this Lakers team?
Four seasons from now. No shot.
Then what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? That's such a terrible, terrible, terrible hire. It's so bad.
Well, it just goes to show you the power of podcasting. We find out Paul George isn't going to Philly on a podcast. We find out that Mikal Bridges is the Knicks are basically wanting him. Like, that was the vibe. They didn't want to say it. We all got that vibe when Mikal was on the roommate show. And then now, podcaster turned teammate / coach. And just wait till next episode where we're going to have an equally league-shattering reveal.
Like, podcasters, it's got to be the most low-effort, dumbass thing that you could do with your life. Like, what kind of fucking loser do you have to be to sit on a mic and think that people are going to listen to whatever the fuck
and somehow,
dumb shit you
somehow
say?
People care.
And people are going to be like, oh, I'm talking about... Yeah, okay, buddy. Okay, pal.
Yeah, just because we're the ones with the mic doesn't mean they know shit, okay?
But no, I think the J.J. Redick hire is terrible. I think it's really, really bad. And he can say whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. But I think it's...
I don't know. It's such a... coaching is just so hard as a fan to understand. Like, is like a player who like knows the plays super well fitted to be a coach? Who I don't know. I'm not up to answer that question. Obviously, like, there comes... It's just like any job where, like, you can be the most qualified person, but if you're not a good leader, you can't be a man. You can't be in management, you know? Like, you've had those people you've worked with. It's like, wow, this guy does every part of the job so good, and you wonder why he never became a manager. And obviously, people management's a big part of it. But from everything I've heard, and obviously, it's all filtered through the J.J. Redick podcast, so obviously, they're going to be a little nicer to him. But he does seem like one of the smarter players in the league. Obviously, he coaches already. Yeah, it's at like a fourth grade level or whatever. But at least he's like actively doing it. Like, he runs plays and stuff. Obviously, him and LeBron have talked like in depth about it.
Well, time out for 1 second. I'll let you continue in a second. Saying, yeah, obviously he coaches already when he's getting hired to be the Lakers head coach. It's like a Michelin 5-star restaurant being like, yeah, he has kitchen experience for somebody who worked at McDonald's. Continue with whatever you're saying with the points that you're making.
And like the fact that like LeBron respects him is probably the most important thing. Like, obviously, like when like the reason the Lakers get the attention is one, because they wear purple and gold, and two, because LeBron James is on the team. All the other players are going to look to him for everything, and if he's happy with the coach, they're going to be happy for it. I think that's how it's going to work. Obviously, I hope it doesn't come to any of the situations where their past relationship, JJ and LeBron's, hinders the other players and they feel like ostracized in some way. But like, I don't know, whatever, man. Like, I don't think that unless you found a championship coach on the market, that there would be a good solution. Like, if you got a Dwayne Casey or a Budenholzer or
a bigger staff
or even a D'Antoni, I feel like people are so out on them already that it's almost like you got to prove to me that you're a good coach. And that's why we see all these rookie coaches getting hired, because it's like, I know the limits of these other people. You theoretically have no limits that we are aware of yet. So I think at least for the start of the season, it'll be a little bit more of a positive thing. And then, but obviously, like, winning cures all. If they're winning games, it's going to seem like this was a great decision. And if they're losing games, he might not even make it through the year.
Do you think the Lakers executives are going to the fourth grade game to see what kind of sets he was running? What do you think his fourth grade? Do you think his fourth grade team? Do you think they're running the zone or do you think they're running man defense?
That's I don't know, but their ATOs are insane.
Yeah, oh yeah. They were like, damn, like he really knows how to run his defense through his center. He's gonna be great with Anthony Davis. This 5'5" monster on the court towering over everyone. Like, do they still find those like little tyke nets? Like when you're in fourth grade, like
yeah they have like bouncy balls instead of basketball. Oh my god! Instead of X's and O's, he draws everything in X's. You better change that.
Bro, he probably writes in crayon. He's coaching fucking fourth grade. Like,
this is some that young. I thought he was like in high school.
No, it is fourth grade.
Are they good? Are they winning?
I can't believe it. I can't believe is it. Like, not an assistant, not an assistant coach job. Like, not, like, you know, like, our G League team coach. Like,
true.
No experience.
True.
Oh, my God, man.
But he does have hella experience with the players. That's the thing. That's the reason Steve Nash got the job. But to your point, Steve Nash was assistant for years.
The fantastic Steve Nash thing that worked out really well when Kyrie Irving was like, I don't even need a coach. And then Kyrie
we're all the coach.
Yeah, and then Kyrie and Kevin Durant ran him out of town within like a year of both of them being back on the team together. Like, no, man. Like, you look at Jason Kidd, who's just in the finals. He got a coaching job right away when he was, like, when he was done playing. And he's a much more cerebral player than J.J. Redick. There's few people in the history of the NBA more cerebral than him. So that's not even, like, a knock on Redick. I think Redick's a really smart guy. And he understands the game more than most players. It's also just comes from the
position. It's point guard versus shooting guard.
For sure. And, like, even him, like, he kind of had a bunch of fuck-ups. Like, he had a couple teams that it just didn't work out with, and he worked his way out, like, before he could really figure it out. I feel like...
True.
Like, with coaching, you kind of need to get your, like... You gotta get your battle scars, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder, do you think players will give a Steve Nash or a Jason Kidd more leeway? Because this is an All-NBA player. This guy might have been better than me when they were playing. Versus they will give JJ, where it's like Anthony Davis is like, you don't know what it's like to ever be a franchise player. Like, I'm not going to respect your opinion as much.
Listen, with coaching, like, NBA players love to win. Right. So whatever their opinions are at the beginning of the season don't really matter. Mm. And, like, maybe I think that they do right away respect Steve Nash and Jason Kidd more than they would, like, a JJ Redick. But it's all about results. And like if the Lakers find themselves at midseason and they're like 20-22, which is where they've been at midseason pretty much every year for the past like 4 or 5 years, they're almost always mid in the middle of the season. I think that like it's going to be a bad look. It's going to be a bad look for that team. And it's not like it's a slam dunk team that he's going to. Like this team is
no. Like I don't expect them to even be good. Is the biggest problem about this? Like they're not going to win a championship unless they make some sort of moves. Like as currently constructed, they are not a championship team.
Do you think the front office would be fine with them missing the playoffs?
Yeah, no shot.
No way. do you think that they're better than Denver?
No.
Do you think they're better than Oklahoma City?
No.
Do you think they're better than Minnesota?
No.
Do you think they're better than Dallas?
No.
Do you think they're better than Memphis?
Probably not.
That's five teams there. Do you think they're better than the Clippers?
Probably
if they bring
not.
Everyone back? Do you think they're better than Phoenix? Maybe.
Maybe, probably not.
Are they noticeably better than...
Maybe, actually. Maybe Phoenix.
Are they noticeably better than Phoenix?
Mm-mm.
Are they noticeably better than New Orleans?
No.
I don't know, man. That's eight teams right there. And yeah, so, like, exactly. They're going to be battling.
And, like, fuck it. The Rockets might have come to rank.
And, like, Sacramento... Their floor is 44 games.
Right, exactly.
And their ceiling is 46, to be fair. But, like the bottom of the conference, like, you're not going to make the playoffs being a 39-win team in the West.
Exactly.
You're just not. Like, that's not happening. Golden State didn't even mention. And they could be getting Paul George in a couple days. Like, I think that this is disaster written all over it. Like,
also, like, for real, LeBron can't keep this up. Like it's the meme tweet of like he's whatever age he can't keep going forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually true. He's the oldest player in the league. Like eventually, like he's not going to be LeBron James.
Yep. That's about it for that. I'm gonna save the last big thing for the very end. I'm gonna look at the trades that have happened today because that's kind of separate from everything else.
Right. Yeah, we were gonna touch on the draft. to be honest, I don't know shit about this draft. I haven't. I've heard a few podcasts mention it. To me, it all just sounds like random names I've never heard before, which maybe us talking about low-level role players sounds like that to you. So maybe you'll just listen because you like the sound of my voice.
If you don't like that kind of shit, I'm sorry, man. Like, my bad. That's on me. Oh, yeah, Denny Avdia got traded.
Oh, yeah.
Wild. He got traded to Portland for two firsts. I know, right?
Portland firsts?
So, Malcolm Brogdon, the 14th overall pick in this draft, and a 2029 Boston Celtics or Milwaukee Bucks, whichever is the better of those two picks. So, one real first, one first in this bad draft, and Malcolm Brogdon. I kind of like it for Portland. I don't hate it because they need forwards. They have a lot of guards and they have a lot of centers. And for Washington, like, whatever. You get a couple firsts. I like Denny Avdia.
Same. I also like Denny Avdia. But I think, like, Malcolm Brogdon, I can't believe, doesn't... I can't believe that's the one. That's the one you have to throw in picks. You have to throw in picks and Brogdon for Avdia. But you can just throw in Giddy for Caruso. Good work for both teams, I guess, actually. That's a sick move. Yeah, I think Avdia has really good upside.
Yeah.
And, maybe a change of scenery will help.
The one thing that I'll say I don't love about it for Washington is, like, all right, I guess we're going to be bad for the next 3 or 4 years, that. Because, like, when you're trading dudes who are, like, 23, 24.
Yeah.
It's like when the Spurs trade DeJounte Murray, where it's, like, we're just not going to be good for, like, we're rebuilding so deep that, like, if you're not, like, literally a future draft pick, you're off our roster. Like, that's what Brooklyn's doing this year.
Right.
And, like, that is just not a good spot you want to be in.
Well, they're going to flip Brogdon, right? Can't imagine Brogdon's going to be playing in Washington.
Yeah, no. And that's the only big news that's happened tonight. Maybe there'll be more throughout the draft. But a little Denny Avdia note. Malik Monk got a new contract, $19.5 per year. Good for him.
Yeah. Very market value.
Very market value. Saying. The person who it screws up us over a little bit, just because guards who can shoot, Gary Trent Jr. is going to be a free agent. And I think that does just mean more teams will probably be taking a look at him, which is not so good for us. But I don't think it drives up his market value that much.
But also, that just has the standard. Like, Gary kind of has to take 20 mil now.
Well, I think he'll take way less. I'd be surprised if he takes more than, like, 14. Like, he's not Malik Monk.
No, I know he isn't. But he's still kind of young, right? Or is it?
Yeah, you're going to tell me Zach Levine? I think he's, like, 24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you're under 25, you're young.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, honestly, once, if you are 25, you're really young.
Once you hit 25, it's over for you. No. Like, 24, that's the best year of your life. Then you hit 25, and, like,
start and then it's even better.
Your back starts hurting. Your dick gets smaller.
I found a gray hair when I was 24. Like, a few months ago, I found gray hair.
That's fucked. I can't imagine that. I just bald. They don't turn gray. They just fall out. And now we're on to our final topic. Team Canada.
Woo! Oh, this one. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So the team was announced. All the boys are here.
Everyone you'd want.
Let me just name off the team at this camp. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Andrew Nembhard, Lou Dort, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Kelly Olynyk, Zach Edey, Trey Lyles, Dwight Powell, O'Shea Brissett, Ken Birch, Fiondu Kavangele, Phil Scrub, Thomas Scrub, Trey Bell-Haynes, Melvin Ejim, and Kyle Alexander.
Is Kyle Alexander, I've been hearing about him, is he related to Shai?
I don't think so. But he's been a Team Canada regular for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love it. First of all, congrats to Fiondu Kavangele, Corpus Christi alumni. Good for him.
Corpus Christi High School?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, damn.
He was 2 years older than us. He was my brother's age.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Good for him to be on this.
Oh, wow. That's really dope.
To be in this camp, and I'm kind of pulling for him to get, like, that 12th roster spot if he can. I know, man. Where's Simi? But it's great to see all the guys here. Benedict Mathurin and Shaedon Sharpe are at the camp. They'll be working with these guys, they're not going for the team, which I kind of like that because it shows that they have a commitment to the team for the future and that, you know, like, we only have so many ball handler spots and both those guys like really just provide a lot of ball handling. Right. And I kind of assume that Mathurin would be not making it anyway because of the injury, and that he probably wants a full offseason to recover. Shaedon Sharpe would be nice, but even just having him there will be sick. Yeah, the team's going to be great. going to be really freaking good. Our center depth is bad. Hopefully Zach Edey, that's one reason that Zach Edey being good.
We have Olenek and Powell. Like, that's fine. Those are NBA centers, starting centers.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, one of them starting.
It's fine.
I like, need of them starting more.
Like, Serbia has Jokic, and the USA has Embiid and Anthony Davis, and France has Wembanyama and Gobert. I haven't heard anything about him. Not I've heard right. Kawhi not playing, playing, but I've heard Embiid is planning on playing.
I would hate that. I would hate that as a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I would hate that. I hated that when I found the news that he was going to play for the team anyway. Right. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully, whatever. Like, hopefully he plays and he's healthy if he wants to. But yeah, everyone there. The best player who's not at the camp at all is, like, Chris Boucher, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, we have those top five players.
Top six. Top eight. Seven. Like, top yeah, nine. Top nine are all, like, legit NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. And all, like, dudes that I was like, oh, man, I hope they play. And they're all playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, and like, a lot of dudes who, like Andrew Nembhard looked great in the playoffs. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker looked great in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, those are a couple dudes.
Lou Dort in that first round.
Yeah, Lou Dort looked really freaking good. I mean, Raptors legends and RJ Barrett and Kelly Olynyk, even Ken Burch down there. Yeah. Remember the Ken Burch era? Those were some good times. NBA champion Oshae Brissett. But really, the big thing is the top three. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins. Shai was kind of a given, but, like, Jamal Murray and Andrew Wiggins being here is huge. That's just
especially Murray. I don't think I've seen Murray play for Team Canada yet.
No, he's been hurt. Like, the past few years, he's been struggling in and out with injuries. Sure. So it's good to get this kind of, he wants to play. So this training camp will start in 2 days, on Friday, 2 days from the recording of this podcast. And then we're off to play an exhibition against the United States 2 weeks from today. And then we play an exhibition against France 9 days from that. And then 8 days after that, the Olympics start. So being able to see France and the USA will be nice before this starts.
Yeah.
Those are going to be two really good teams. I saw something today on Twitter, and it might be fake. Like, I don't know if it's a true thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that Killian Hayes got cut from the Team France squad, which is
so funny. That's crazy.
Which is so funny to me.
Hey, like, this is low-key pretty good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. Yeah, it's good. The one thing I will comment on as well for this is Corey Joseph's not there, which is a little bit surprising because he said they wanted to be there. But he was not announced with the team. And it makes me think, because last year he was at the training camp, but didn't travel with the team because he was unhappy with his role. And so I wonder if the team was just like, fuck this guy.
Oh, hey. Yeah. True. We'll make you unhappy.
He was a Team Canada guy. He played every time. Like, he was one of the few guys who just played every fucking time for us. And then last year he was like, I don't know if I want to do this, if I'm not going to be, you know, getting a lot of minutes. And then,
yeah,
and then he just didn't travel with us. And then he hasn't done anything with Team Canada since. So I don't know.
I don't get that. I feel like, wouldn't it just be cool to be around a bunch of dudes?
Yeah, right.
Who all are good at basketball, like mm-hmm. you. Maybe you learn from someone like Shai.
Well, like, you're not going to learn from Shai. You're fucking Corey Joseph. You're like 33 years old.
True. True. But teach then.
Yeah, teach them. For sure. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, that is pretty sick. Sorry, when did you say it starts?
The training camp is Friday, and then exhibition will be against the USA in 2 weeks. The Olympics isn't for
July 10th.
A little more than a month.
That's what we got to be looking out for.
I think the big one. 7 o'clock or 7:30 in Las Vegas. So I'm definitely going to be watching that game.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, 5 days. Yeah, because it's a long weekend, eh?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I knew Monday was off. I did not clock why. That's sick. San Antonio just picked our pick, Rob Dillingham.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they need a point guard with some shooting, some self-creation. He's fun. They're going to like him.
Okay, cool. First pick, not Sar, as said, like you said,
Zachary Risacher.
Yeah, exactly right. Then Sar, then Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard to whom?
Houston.
they're going to have to trade some of the young players. They have way too many young dudes there in those picks. I've heard them connected to we only talked about Durant.
52% of the threes last year.
I know. He's a shooter. Well, he's white. I've heard them connected to Durant and to Butler, and I would love them to get either of those dudes because they have way too many young guys. Like, I would trade anything
they're
on
signed
roster.
Up for the Durant. Like we mentioned how Brooklyn enjoys taking their own picks back because it's more valuable in their own hands. Obviously, because they control Phoenixes, they can just give them their picks back.
Mm-hmm.
Much more enticing.
Yeah. Yeah, Houston's ready. Because, like, you think, like, players who have value, like, Sengun, Green, Thompson, Eason, Whitmore, Reed Shepard now. That's six dudes. Jabari Smith Jr.
True.
That's seven dudes right there.
Top three pick.
And you already have Van Vliet and you already have Brooks, who are also going to get minutes. So I would consolidate if I was that team. I feel like I might even be forgetting like somebody. Like maybe they have another piece. Although yeah. I whoever I'm forgetting won't be that good. Like Jayshon Tate.
Yeah.
But yeah, they gotta consolidate soon. Hopefully they do.
Kevin Durant seems weird to me though. It's a little too late for Kevin Durant. Like when Brooklyn got him, I was like, he's still gonna be good. But now it's like, oh, you're partial with Kevin Durant at this point.
Yeah.
He's getting old.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like the Brooklyn of years past. Where they trade picks that became Tatum and Brown for an aging Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
Yeah, but how much do you think it would really take to get Kevin Durant from Phoenix?
That's true, but I bet you there'd be a market. I think you'd have to bid for him, and that's where I think the problem is. I think the name is so big.
Yeah. Yeah, but like if you were to offer them like Sengun, like who's going to give up
the Bradford? It'd be Sengun and like three picks, I feel like, or something.
If you were to give up Sengun, two picks, Thompson, and then probably Van Vliet for money. Like that's
now I'm talking. Now you're talking.
Who's gonna give you a better offer than that? You're only giving up two picks in the future.
What are you doing? You're in the West. You're not gonna.
You're gonna have Kevin Durant, Dylan Brooks.
You get past the first round, maybe. Like Phoenix couldn't.
Yeah, but you can't play all those young players. And like, I don't want to trade for a middle piece. Like, I don't want to trade for like a Sabonis.
But like to make the I don't want to trade Van Vliet, but you need to make the contract match.
Yeah. But they got to trade. They got to trade something. They can't keep all these young dudes on their roster. Well, they could. It's just a waste. Like, and then all those dudes are going to have less value as they play less minutes.
Yeah.
I would trade. Weird like Thompson's a dude who I would very much like a trading. I think teams are still fairly high on him.
Yep.
I would probably Sengun's a little tough because he's hurt. I don't know how other teams would feel about Green. So maybe you want to keep
Sengun's the most attractive asset they have.
Yeah, he's coming off a torn ACL, so I'd rather have him get him back to full healthy before I would trade him. Unless you're trading him for a Durant or a Butler.
No, he's almost an all-star.
Yeah, for sure. But like, I do think the injury hurts.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I would just keep him until he's healthy. Until teams know. You know.
Yeah.
Thompson's the one that I would really trade because I don't think he's going to be good for a while, but I think he has a chance to be really good sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or Whitmore is another one that I think teams could be
very interested. Yeah, that's the one you missed last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That's the podcast. We talked about a lot.
Yeah, that was a good pod. We thought we might have to do two parts, but we nailed it.
Yeah, we kind of ripped through it.
We nailed this trade. Unlike Chicago did with their trade. But no, for real, if I was like, I think Sengun probably one for one, or maybe Sengun and a couple picks for Plumlee.
Sengun, the third pick this year, four more picks. I'm asking for Mikal Bridges Hall.